1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I was enjoying the words of that great song. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Amen. Man, you get saved, Jesus is not only your Savior, He's your elder brother. You're in the family. Amen. That's a blessing. Great songs. Wonderful songs. Good songs that have a meat to them. Great singing this morning. We're going to read the first three verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So follow along there. Actually, let's read down through verse number 4 today. And once again, let's read them responsively. Will you join me on the even-numbered verses 2 and 4? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'll begin with verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask Brother Allen to come lead us in our prayer for the message this morning, and then we'll enjoy the special.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. And thank you for encouraging our hearts already through the fellowship, through the music. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us to listen intently to the preaching of your word. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. May the message make a difference in our lives. Help us to learn and grow in grace as you want us to. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some testings and trials felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now, looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past, and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful. Thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore.
But it's nailed to a cross, and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
thankful this morning. It's a great song. Thank you, youngins, for singing that for us. That was a blessing. One of the favorite lines in that song to me is "Faithful like Noah back on dry ground." I think if ever there was a guy that had to get off a boat, I'm sure it was Noah. Amen. Hey, y'all awake this morning? Hello out there. Okay, you got a Christmas hangover. Yeah, that's what it is. All right. So, great song this morning. That was a blessing. Let's pray together. I want to speak on the subject of your faith, which we started a couple of weeks ago and had more of a Christmas message last Sunday. So let's go back to the topic of your faith. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, and we can't look back and say that everything was enjoyable over 20 and 2020, but I'm thankful. And as the song says, you were hovering near, close by us. We're so grateful for that. And Lord, we look to you this morning. We can't think of a service without your presence. Lord, you're the one that turns a sermon into a message. You need to help us today, if you would, please, anoint both speaker and listener so that we can get something from your word. Been a lot of activity and a lot of goings on that are attached to the things of this world at this time of the year. And so I pray that the voice of God could be heard today by everyone that needs to hear it, including myself. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts now and look forward to it in Christ's name and amen. Paul had started the church in Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. That's recorded for us in the book of Acts. He traveled after leaving Thessalonica. He traveled all the way through Athens to Corinth. And then he wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica because, as he put it in the text here, he could no longer forbear. He had to know how the people in Thessalonica were doing. And there's a reason for that, people. He carried them on his heart. He said twice he could no longer forbear. He said it in verse number 1, and he said it in verse number 5. I can't help myself. I've got to know how you are doing. And the thing that he was concerned about more than any other was what he called, in his words to them, your faith. Your faith. And I said 2 weeks ago, every decent pastor should be concerned about the well-being of the church's spiritual health. The well-being of the church's faith. I'm not talking about corporately. I'm talking about individually. I'm talking about those of us who are here and make up this assembly. All right? What is the condition of your faith? That should be on every pastor's heart. He mentions those two words, your faith, 6 times in the 2 letters that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first one found in chapter 1. We're not going to go back there. But Paul told them that their faith had a testimony. Their faith had a testimony. And their testimony was an example to others in different cities and different countries. And that's because their faith was real. And their faith resulted in service to God, which goes along with the book of James, chapter 2, where the Bible is very clear that real faith works. Real faith works. James said, faith without works is dead. There's no faith there. Their faith resulted in service to God. And that's why it became a testimony and example to others. Real faith results in service to God some way. So, is my faith a testimony? Is it an example to others? Does my faith show in my works? Because I'm not saved by works, but I am saved to work. I'm saved to serve God. Do I have just enough faith to keep the lions away? Did I take you back? Brother Stensis? Just enough faith to keep the lions away? Or do I have a faith that works? Those are all fair questions for us to ask ourselves. Do I have real faith? Is it evidence in my works? Is it a testimony? Is it an example to others? And that's what Paul told them about their faith. Those are serious questions. But he had more to say about your faith to these same people. We find a second mention here in verse number 2 in chapter 3. He said in verse number 1, he said, I was at Athens. I couldn't help myself. I could no longer forbear. So I sent Timothy to you. and to comfort you concerning your faith. All right? So he sent Timothy. So Timothy was sent to Thessalonica on a mission. And that mission concerned two things to find out about their faith. He said, I sent Timothy to you on a mission concerning two things about your faith. We're going to look at those this morning. Number one, they needed to be established in their faith. They needed to be established in their faith. Look at verse number two again. He says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So, Timothy, I want you to go to Thessalonica and I want you to help establish the faith of these Thessalonian believers. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary gives a bunch of definitions of the word establish or establish. All of them, though, include the concept of making firm, fixing, settling. You know, when I was at the boys' ranch, Mike had a big job. Mike had 12, 13, you know, guys there, and you got to keep boys busy. You don't keep them busy, they're going to get in trouble, okay? And Mike was real good at keeping us busy. I did all kinds of things, everything from milking cows to tearing down a three-story house, board by board, salvaging the lumber, and picking apples and loading pumpkins and picking strawberries, and I just on and on and on. And one of the other things I did in my months that I was there, almost 10 months, a little over 10 months, was build fence. And we didn't have the fancy auger, you know, with the PTO on the tractor, you know, the power takeoff to dig the holes. I earned my Ph.D. Digging those fence holes with a post hole digger, okay? And I got a real Ph.D. there, all right? So I'm going down, you know, and boy, you open them up, you know, and then you put the dirt off to the side. And we are building not a mile, not 2 miles, not three. We're building like 4 or 5 miles of fence. And we went to the woods in Tennessee and cut the posts. Cut them down. Got them out of the woods and cut them up into, you know, I think they were 9-foot posts. And we skinned them. Okay, we skinned the bark off of them with those skinning type, I forget what they call them, but there's a skinning type knife, and you skin all the bark off. And then we put them in creosote and soaked them in creosote to make them last. It was before the days of green treat, okay? And so we put them in creosote, and then I was on the PhD crew, okay? I was on the postal digging crew, me and Dwayne Carlisle. And we would dig those posts, I think 6 feet, 3 feet deep, maybe 3 or 4 foot deep, those holes. And then we would set the post in there. We had to level it up. We had to take the dirt that came out of the hole. And we had a tamping bar. And we tamped and tamped. And you only could put 3 or 4 inches of dirt in at a time. Then you had to stop and tamp all the way around it. And then you put 3 or 4 more inches of dirt in and tamp all the way around that thing and tamp it and tamp it and tamp it. And you'd be surprised. By the time you did that over 3 or 4 feet, that post was fair. That post was really in that ground established, set. Now, I've helped at my house. Brother Irvin helped me put a small deck in the front of my house, and we dug the holes, and we used sackcrete. And what a happy thing it was for me to learn that you don't even have to add water to sackcrete. You just dump the powder in the ground and it absorbs the water around it. And that's a lot easier than all that tamping, 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 tamping. But established. Firm. Fixed. Paul's concern was that the Thessalonian believers were not only saved. Now that was first and foremost. Saved, but settled. Settled. Tamped in, set in concrete. He used the word established or established. So it is with your faith, with my faith, there is the necessity that our faith be established. Now, I want you to notice something about this establishing of their faith. Something very interesting to me. Look at verse number 2 again. And he sent Timotheus. So God sent a man to the Thessalonian people to help them establish, settle, fix their faith. Paul sent Timothy for the purpose of helping them establish their faith. He was to help them firm up their faith. He was to help them set their faith in concrete, to fix fast their faith. Now, Timothy was Paul's traveling companion. He was the perfect guy to send because he had seen firsthand the apostle lead people to Christ. He had seen the apostle then establish them in the faith. And he sent Timothy. He sent Timothy to Corinth. He sent Timothy to Philippi to do the same things. He sent Timothy over and over again to help believers establish their faith, get their faith settled, get their faith fixed. You say, well, you know, I believe God has given us His Word to do that. Yes, He has given us His Word to help us establish our faith. But Paul also sent a man. And here's the bottom line, folks. God uses people to help establish our faith. And look, in this Thessalonica, you got Jewish and you got Gentile believers, and they're attending the same assembly. They're coming to the same church services. They're singing together. They're worshiping together. They're praising God together. This is a new concept. And following Jesus was so new to all of these converts, and there was a great need for them to be established, settled, fixed, tamped in, if you will. Think about it with me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the seven other disciples, they were established by the very best, Jesus Christ Himself. Paul had Barnabas. Did you know that Barnabas was sent to help establish Paul's faith? Titus had Paul. Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos had Priscilla and Aquila. Remember when they heard him? I think it was in Ephesus. They heard Apollos, and Priscilla and Aquila brought him in. Apollos was a new believer, and he was testifying and witnessing and trying to preach. And they brought him into their home, and they helped establish his faith and helped him concerning the Scriptures. So the Scriptures were there, but God used people using the Scriptures to help establish believers. The young pastors in the New Testament, the first century, they had Peter to help establish them. And on it goes. The same is true today. People who get saved need to be established in their faith. God uses His Word to do it, but He uses people to teach His Word. He uses people to preach His Word so that others can get firmed up in the faith, established. This is why it's so necessary for God's people to be faithful to the local assembly. Folks, there's all kinds of, I hate to even use the little phrase method behind the madness, because church is not madness. But there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. And I want to tell you something. That stretch through this time earlier this year where we didn't assemble, that did not help people get established. In fact, that de-established some people. This is the honest truth. They're not back where they were spiritually. This is why it's so important for us, for God's people to attend faithfully the assembly. I'm going to tell you my experience, okay? Now, this I'm coming apart from the Bible here to give you my experience, because I have no chapter or verse to back up what I'm about to say. This is just 40 years of observation, 40 years plus, okay, 40 and a half, of watching people, knowing people. This is my observation. It's very, very simple. People who could be faithful to church services and are not, never get established in their faith. I don't say that with malice. I don't say it with anger. But I don't shy away from saying it either. Because that's been my experience. Didn't say they weren't saved. I said they never got settled. They never got tamped in concerning their faith. I could start naming names. I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't dare do it. I could name names of people from the 10 years that I was in Iowa. Brian and Debbie Maxwell. Vicky Scow's out of town, but Brian and Debbie are here this morning. And the names that I would name to you, they would know without being critical. You know what? They were great people, but they just never got in. Never got established. never got settled. Well, why not? Check their church attendance. Track it. It just never happened. I could do the same thing in the 30 plus years I've been here. I'm not going to name names, but those of you that have been here over the years, people come to get saved. They're decent people, good folks, but they're not established in their faith because Paul sent a man to Thessalonica, to the church, to the assembly in Thessalonica. Timothy, go up there. You got a bunch of new believers and new converts and establish those people concerning their faith. You know, I am grateful for those who over the years have taught to me and preached to me God's Word. You know, I am not a know-it-all. I am not, it's sometimes not even a good Christian, but my faith has been fixed. My faith has been firmed up. My faith has been settled through the ministry of the Word of God as people have taught and preached to me through the year. I've benefited from personal study. I've benefited from personally searching the Scriptures like you have. But at the assembly, God has used people to sack. Establish my faith. You know, I've told you the stories before about going to work at Thrall Carr over here in Bible College up in Chicago Heights over here and going to Thrall Carr. And it was a welding place. We welded box cars, railroad cars. And the South Bay, they made the coal cars. You know what a coal car is. You get stopped by one of the coal car trains, it's a forever experience, okay? Well, I was in the North Bay. In the North Bay, we made grain hoppers. You probably have seen those grain hoppers. They have three bottoms to them, like chutes. That's where they stored the grain. The grain went out. And I worked on the one end of the grain hoppers. And I had never been around a welder. I've told you this story too many times probably. Never been around a welder before. And they put a gray helmet on me with a smiley face on the side of it, which said to everybody there, he's a rookie. He's a new hire. And I had my metatarsals, and I had my gloves, my welding gloves, and I had my helmet. And Bill Smith was the foreman, and he said, here's a stack of just scrap metal. He said, they're all the same size. He said, you take two pieces, put one piece like this. He said, now put your helmet down. So I did. Close the thing. I did. He went, zzz. He said, see how easy that was? He said, just do that all night. Stand by this bench, and you weld two pieces of steel together just like that. No problem. So I put the stick in there. Got my hood down, got it all set, you know. Have you ever welded? If you've never welded, it's stuck pretty soon. The whole stick is orange. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here? And the whole thing's on fire just about, you know, it's smoking. And it was horrible. But over time, that night, I could weld two pieces of steel together. And after doing that enough, night after night, they put me in the jig. And they said, spot weld it. You fellas that have welded understand spot welding. It's not a solid weld, it's a spot weld. Just enough to hold it together until it gets to the next place where they're going to weld it solid. Well, I'm a rookie. You know what I did? I burned through the metal. Burned through the metal. You burn a hole in it. That's very common when you're learning how to weld. But night after night after night, I learned how to spot weld. I also learned to wear earmuffs because the guys, I was on the bottom side of the car. There were guys inside the car, and sometimes the pieces of metal didn't lay flat, and you had to heat it with a torch and beat it flat, and you take a sledgehammer and beat a piece of metal, and that happened when my ear was about 2 inches from the metal. You talk about waking up quick, brother, I'm telling you. And over time, I could spot weld. And then they put me up there, standing on a scaffold, and had a big sheet. And here's this big, too big. They're probably, I don't know, how wide is the grain hopper? I forget. 10 feet wide? Maybe more, 12 feet wide? I don't know. And now here's these two pieces of steel, 12 feet wide. I got a gap that big. That's got to be welded solid all the way across. All the way across. And, you know, so now I'm doing it. And pretty soon, they put me on a test. And I passed the all-position welder and burner test so I can go anywhere on the floor and weld. How did that happen, folks? That didn't happen in one night. I got established. I got fixed in welding. Now, I haven't picked up a welder since I walked out of there in 1980. So don't ask me to come to your shed and weld anything. I'd probably be making a mess of it all over again. But my point is, you know what I did? You know what I did, Brother Allen? I showed up. Amen. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And then the next week I showed up Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Next week I showed up Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I showed up, 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 showed up. And I went from to being able to weld anywhere on the floor. I got established. And folks, that's exactly how it is with our faith. It's what showing up consistently to the assembly, the house of God, will do for a person. It will help you get established. It's not unusual to find a person who got saved, genuinely born again, and yet has never been settled in concrete in their faith. The biggest thing is they never got into a Bible preaching, teaching church, attending the services, Sunday school, consistently. It's difficult to get fixed in any endeavor, to get settled in any endeavor without consistency. And the same thing is true about our faith. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was visiting a person that got saved some years ago. Years and years ago. Was baptized in obedience to the command of Christ, but just never got in church. And they asked a very simple question about, I don't understand this. And sitting at the house, at the home there, I was able to take the, you know, with the word, give them verses and teach them about this, this, and this. And here's what they said. Oh, that makes all the sense in the world. And that's what happens when you get to church services faithfully, regularly, you get established in the faith. And by the way, can I point out something here? Look at verse number 2 again. Verse number 1. Look at verse number 1. He said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens. What's the next word? Can I tell you that Paul was not in the best of health? Paul was a weak man, physically. He had a bad eye problem. Some people think he was almost like a dwarf-sized, crook-backed. And he thought it was so important that those people in Thessalonica got established in their faith that he sent Timothy, his companion, his right-hand man, he sent Timothy to Paul, to Thessalonica to help them get established in their faith. Left alone by himself in that daunting city of Athens, all by himself. That's how concerned Paul was for the establishment of their faith. You say, Pastor, it's not every week, but it's pretty often you're hammering away on this thing of being consistent to church services because I'm concerned about the establishment of your faith. And the more we go in this world, the more and more work and other things encroach upon the time that people spend. So I was pleased this morning. One of the people sitting here spoke to them. They have a job in the area. It's great to see you. Yes, I talked to my bosses about being in church on Sunday. Amen. Yeah, just tell them. I'm not asking for time off on Sunday to go to the casino. I'm not asking for time off to go do this. I'm asking for time off to get my Bible and go to church and hear the preaching of God's Word. Now, some people aren't going to go with that, but He sent them. They needed to be established in their faith. So, when does that end? When we get to heaven? Ain't nobody here arrived. Nobody. They needed to be established in their faith. Okay, good. Number two, I've got some time here. Number two, not only did they need to be established in their faith, they needed to be, look at what he said at the end of verse 2, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So Timothy, they need to be established in their faith, And they, number two, they need to be comforted concerning their faith. Why? I mean, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. Why would they need to be comforted concerning their faith? Don't miss this statement. The faith of the gospel is not welcomed by this world. Are you listening? The faith of the gospel is not welcomed by this world. It's not popular in this world. A large percentage of the population in that day, listen carefully, because they thought following the people who were following Jesus Christ were part of a cult. Yes, they did. They even had a name for it. They called it the Way. The Way. People in that day, even the religious leaders in Judaism, they talked about the Way. They considered people. Look, listen carefully. I'm going somewhere. In their minds, people who believed the story about Jesus raising from the dead were mentally off. They were dangerous and potentially a menace to society. Persecution of the followers of Christ was not unusual. Paul himself being a target of severe persecution. He's writing to the church in Thessalonica. Do you remember the story in Acts 17? He had real trouble in Thessalonica. The Bible says in Acts 17 that the whole city was in an uproar. Now, and they had to send Paul and Silas, get them out of the city. They're going to get killed. Now, people, stop and put your thinking cap on and think that whole thing through. Here's a group of people in Thessalonica. They are newly saved. They are new converts to Christ. And they've joined this little small group, this small assembly, and with other new converts. And they're starting this little assembly, this church. And the whole city is in an uproar over them. What's wrong with these people? Attending that assembly over there, and the whole city is in an uproar concerning the man that God used to bring them to Christ. The man that God used to preach to them. The man that God used to bring the gospel to them. He is at the center of all the uproar in the city of Thessalonica. Now, can you live with those converts for a couple minutes? Can you think like them? Am I doing the right thing? Is this really a cult? I know something happened to me when I got saved, but is this attending church thing okay? Is Paul really on the level? Come on. I mean, what if Bourbonnais was in an uproar this morning over you and I being here? Uproar. And this is what's going on, okay? And it didn't get any better. The next stop was Berea, and the Jewish leaders from Thessalonica showed up in Berea, and the same thing happened in Berea that happened in Thessalonica. They had to get them out of town quick before they kill them. Now, these people are new converts. So now Paul is down in Athens, and he's thinking, man, I wonder how those people are doing. Had to rush me out of Thessalonica. Had to rush me out of Berea. I mean, I'm there one day, gone the next. How are those converts doing? What are they doing? He's all concerned. Did that shake them? Did that shake their faith? Did that make them question their faith? You know what, Timothy? Would you please go to Thessalonica and would you please tell them, Don't be moved by what has happened. Do not be shaken by what has happened to Paul, by what happened in your city. Don't be moved by it. It's all a part of it. It just goes with the territory of following Christ. That's what he said in 3 and 4. Look at it. Timothy, this is why I sent him up to you, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Even as it came to pass. And you know. Now, people, you say, Pastor, what comfort can be found in being told that there's going to be an uproar over your faith? Well, let me ask you a question. It's better than expecting smooth sailing and experiencing rough water. Any of you guys that have ever been out on water, you launch a boat, you think, wow, isn't that what happened in Acts chapter 27? They launched, the south wind blew softly, wow, all of a sudden, watch me. That's what they were expecting. Smooth sailing. You know what they experienced? Rough water. That's why we don't tell new converts, you'll never have any trouble again now that you're saved. Oh, amen. Don't tell them that. See, when our expectations are here and our experience is here, it's like, whoa. What is going on? And Paul sent Timothy to say, folks, what's going on is what I told you would happen. There would be trouble. There would be tribulation. There would be persecutions concerning the faith. It's part of it. It's okay. Could the day be fast approaching when people who have strong beliefs concerning their faith are considered mentally deficient? I think that's already been said by some people in government positions. These people who believe that Jesus is coming again, you know, they might say, if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that there's a literal heaven and a literal hell, if you believe marriage is really only between a man and a woman, if you really believe that you're gender identified at birth, you're part of a cult. Now, I'm preaching to American Christians who haven't had that much persecution yet. Yet. I don't think you should preach this to... Okay, what do you want me to do? Preach this and you experience this? Or do you want me to tell you? If you think... I want to tell you, folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still not welcome to this world. I'd rather tell you this. This is what you better expect. And you, when you experience it, it's like, well, he told us it would happen. Do you remember? I wish I'd looked it up this morning. And I was thinking about doing that when I went over my notes and I didn't do it. Lazy. But anyway. Remember that first Wednesday night we met here in groups of 50? Okay. So, we have all those groups of 50. We rotated through there, you know, and I preached the same message, what, 3 or 4 times, you know. If you followed me around, you got the same message, but anyway. And then I got in the truck vehicle and was driving up to Providence, had the news on, and they said on the news, the NBA has canceled its season. Now, I give a flip about the NBA. I don't care. Yay, good. I'm glad. Amen. But that, remember, and you know, I haven't watched NBA in years, but when I heard that, I got to be honest. You know what went through my mind? What in the world? What in the world? I was a tad bit shaken. How are you going to be if the day comes when your pastor is arrested for hate speech because he preached against sodomy? I mean, you wake up one morning, you get a phone call, you get an email. Did you hear your Pastor Angel was picked up last night? I'm not saying that will happen. But if God gives me life and breath, it would not surprise me if it does. Well, man, you're expecting that and it'll never happen. All the better. I mean, come on, who's ever complained about, you know, we were expected to be in a storm, but man, we got smooth sailing. This is terrible. And you know what? I have to preach what God lays on my heart because, you know, some people just, I don't know why we have to hear this. But I got to preach what God lays on my heart. And I'd rather you, you know, it is what Paul sent Timothy. It's what Paul sent Timothy to tell. This is what we told you. Can I tell you? Can I give you an example of what first century Christians were told? Listen carefully. None of this is from me. John 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 17:14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 16:33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. In Acts 14:2, Paul returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming, setting, establishing the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter to the kingdom of God. Romans 12:12, patient in tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:4, we are told God comforteth us in all our tribulations. Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the first century believers were told. Over and over and over and over and over again, they were told, your faith is going to bring you trouble. Not us. We've had a tribulation, persecution-free existence in this country. But people, those verses were not recorded just as a historical reference. They were recorded for an admonition to all of us as we follow on to serve the Lord. Timothy went to Thessalonica to let those followers of Christ know, hey, Paul's okay. Really, he's okay. He ran into some trouble, but nothing that he had not expected. Their faith was not welcomed by many in the world, so they should get fixed and settled in their faith. And people, your faith, our faith, needs to be established, and we need comfort concerning our faith. We need to be told that it won't always be welcome. Remember that thing we did in October? Writing relatives, distant family members. Now, some people had some wonderful responses. My wife had a wonderful response from a cousin out in Colorado. But there were some people here in the church that didn't have a wonderful response. There were some people here in the church that had a bad response. For just what? Sharing the gospel. So, man, Pastor, this is December 27th. Why not a happy Christmas message? Christmas, the message of Christmas, all of it is so pleasant and wonderful. And oh, you mean the part like Joseph having to flee to Egypt with Jesus because Herod tried to kill him? You mean that part? When he was less than 2 years old? Had to leave town to stay alive? Oh, That's comforting. That's a sweet Christmas message, isn't it? People, I've talked to other men about it, my age, just walking about, I'm trying to walk the balance beam right now at Faith Baptist Church, preaching messages that hopefully will encourage people's hearts to stay faithful to Christ, but at the same time, dropping the curtain on what could come down the pike. And by the way, this is the whole reason that we need to be established in our faith. Set. So when the trouble comes, we're not moved. I'm done with this verse. I want you to look at it. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is it. Listen, read the verse. I won't say that I won't comment, but I'll keep the comment brief. How's that? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul's going to go to Jerusalem. Actually, let's back up. Look at verse 22. You there? I want you to see it. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth. The Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Ghost says, let me know that everywhere I go, I'm going to run into trouble. Look at the next phrase. But none of these things, what? Move me.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
None of these things move me. You know why? Because you're set. So you wake up on a Thursday morning, you hear, man, alive. They have. Hey, people, I won't give you names, but I can give you cases where in other countries, come down to the police station, we have some questions for you, and they're never heard from again. Yeah, Pastor Angel went down. He was visited by some authorities, something that was preached, and I don't know, Joyce is not sure where he is. What are you going to do on Sunday? Go to church.
Amen.
Teach your Sunday school class.
Amen.
Show up and visit your bus route.
Amen.
This is extreme. Well, maybe. If it doesn't happen, amen. Right? But Paul sent them up here, sent him up there. See, I told you I was not going to make a long comment, but Paul sent Timothy up there to get him set in concrete because following Christ is going to bring you some kind of trouble. So get set. Set. And by the way, when that post moved a little bit, you know what Dwayne and I had to do? Dig it all out and start over again. Because when Mike came by and hit that post, it had to be set. So let's get set. Let's get to church. Let's get our Bibles. Let's come with our Bibles. A teachable spirit, a ready mind. Help me. Tamp around me today. Tamp around me today. Fix me. Settle me. And I want to be set if the day comes when trouble shows up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'll just take your word, Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts as only you can. I thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these people. And Lord, just their it's a blessing. And Lord, many of them have been saved for years and years, and some new. And regardless, we just need to be set. We need to be in concrete. We need to be established. I pray that you'd help us, oh Lord, please. And then, Lord, we need to be comforted concerning our faith. We need to know in advance that it's not always going to be roses, and it's not always going to be well received, that we believe in Christ, truth. So help us, bless the people of this church. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And just a quick question. I wonder this morning if you say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to me about getting established and comfort in my faith. But God's Word ministered to me this morning. Would you raise your hand, please? Wherever you may be sitting, I appreciate that. Amen, 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 amen. Let's get established. Let's get set. Let's get fixed. Let's get settled. Because who knows what's down the road? Let me ask this question today. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved? You talk about your faith. I'm not sure I even have saving faith. It bothers me. Can I pray for you? Would you lift your hand wherever you may be sitting this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. If you're here to be baptized to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, now is the time to come and get you settled in the right place. And Brother Allen, this guy needs to know where to go. So that'd be good. In a minute, we're going to have the invitation. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, you know, coming to the altar and kneeling and saying, God, you spoke to me just to help me to get established and settled and fixed. And you know what? Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You get a little loose sometimes. The dirt's got to be taken out. You've got to be tamped down again. That's what just showing up at church helps us do, establish the faith, establish in our faith, get set in concrete for what's ahead. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have the piano playing the invitation this morning. You respond today as the Lord puts it on your heart. You'll be obedient to Him, whatever He tells you to do. If you're not sure that you're saved, now's the time to come. Let them take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You're here to follow the Lord, believers baptized. I believe some have already gone back for that. That's wonderful. Those of you that are newly saved, let me just encourage you. Say, Pastor, you scare me with talk like that. No, no, listen. The journey's wonderful. And God goes with you. I'd rather be in trouble with Christ than in trouble without Him. For sure. Sent a man, Timothy. Would you take this letter? It should help him get fixed, settled, concrete, established. Comfort him. They've heard a lot of stories about trouble and uproar in Athens, and uproar in Berea, and uproar in their own town. So encourage him, comfort him. Let him know what Jesus said about their faith is going to cause them some trouble somewhere. This is not discouraging. This is encouraging. It's helpful. We let the Spirit of God minister to us. Father, we love your word. We thank you for helping us with it this morning. I pray that you'll build your people. I pray that you will help us to set out to be established in the faith. It's settled. And then, Lord, comfort us when necessary. If difficulty arises, may the Spirit of God minister to us comfort, knowing that this is what Jesus told us to expect. In the world, you shall have tribulation. And of course, Lord, it helps us to look forward to that day when we'll all be with you. And forever settled there in Christ's name. Amen.